Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis. Batek Shebesidke Areva. If you have dough of chametz, which is left over in the cracks of a wicker basket, Im Yesh Kazayas Makom Echad. If you have Kazayas of dough in one area, Chayv Lavar, you have to remove it from the cracks and burn it before Pesach. Vimlo, if you don't have a Kazayas of dough in one area, then Batel B'mi'ute, we say that it's Batel in its minority state. And the Gemara explains that this is only when you don't have a kazayas in one area that we see its batel, if it's in a place where it's being mechazeh, strengthening the wicker basket. For example, sealing up a hole in the wicker basket. So when it's time, a person wants it to be there, and therefore it's batel, and therefore, this is batel to the basket, you don't have to burn it before Pesach. But if it's in an area that, it's not meant to strengthen the basket, so then even if it's less than a kazayas, you're going to have to remove it before Pesach, because you're not batel it there, and it's possible you may change your mind, you're going to want to eat it on Pesach, and therefore you have to remove it before Pesach. And you're not tumma. So too regarding the concept of tumma. If a dead reptile touches that dough of chametz on Pesach, so if the dough had to be burnt before Pesach, meaning you have a kazayas of the dough, so then the iser makes it a chashiv entity, and now it's considered a chatzitza in front of the tumma, meaning that the dead reptile will make the dough tameh, but the wicker basket still stays tahar. Because the dough is considered food. The food becomes tummy from the reptile, the reptile, but food cannot make a utensil tummy, and therefore the wicker basket is still tar. But if you don't have a kazayas, so since it doesn't have to be destroyed, right, so then it's bustled to the basket. If it's bustled to the basket, we look at it as if the sheretz not just touched the dough, but it's as if it touched the basket itself, and then it would make the basket tummy. So we're applying the same concept over here, that what makes it chashiv, what makes it not chashiv, to the concept of tumma. And they bring that over here. B'shayim was the rest of the year, it wouldn't be ended till b'shir miyesh bo kazayas amlav ella. Right now, what about the rest of the year? So the rest of the year regarding tuma, okay. So it's not going to make a difference in miyesh bo kazayas if there's a kazayas or not. Rather, it's going to depend upon whether you're makpid, you want it to be there or not. Meaning, the mission continues. Im makpid alav, you want it to be there. She'omid litlo misham, you want to remove. I'm sorry. Im makpid alav, you want to remove it. Right? If you want to remove it, then chotzeitz. So then regarding tumma, it'll make a chatzitza, because you don't want it to be there, right? So therefore, it's a chatzitza. It becomes tummy, and the wicker basket stays tahar, even if it's less than a kazayas. If it's less than a kazayas, that if he's makbid, it would be lechumra, that you'd have to, it's a chotzeitz, meaning it would make the, it would become tamei, not the basket would become tamei. But if you're makbid and you don't want to be there, so then you may have to burn it because you don't want to be there. It's not possible to the basket. Okay. But regarding tuma, the concept is that if you're makbid, so then you want to remove it, it would become tamei and the wicker basket would still stay tahar. The imrotza bikiyuma, if you want it to be there in the cracks, right? Then harayu kareva, it's like the wicker basket, and if a dead reptile touches it, it's as if it's touching the basket itself. Even if it afilu shiur yotem exayas enu chotzeitz, right? We look at it as if it touched the wicker basket itself because you want it to be there, and therefore the wicker basket is tame now. And even if the shiur is more than a kazayas, it doesn't serve as a chatzitza because we don't look at it as a separate entity. You want it to be part of the basket, and therefore we look at it as part of the basket, and it makes the entire basket tame. And then lastly, batzak hacheresh, if you have dough, which is deaf. What does that mean? It's dough that it's not recognizable in it, the simanim of chimas, of something that would make it leaven. So we consider it deaf, meaning it's like a deaf person that could speak, shemadabli speak to him and he doesn't know what you're saying. Or some say batzak hacheresh means that you could hit the dough with your hand, it makes no voice. So the Rambam says, okay. Another explanation is, it's very hard, like earthenware, like cheres. That's just like a cheresh, like a deaf mute, but cheresh, like earthenware. And the point is, you can't recognize whether it has the elements to make it leaven or not. So now, imyesh kiyotze bo shehichmetz, if you have in this dough, imyesh betzak akav, there's another dough. Shenila shimo, there was kneaded along with it. But osher in the same hour. And that already became leaven, that already became chametz. Then it's a aser. Even this dough, which is very, very hard and thick, would also be aser because of chametz on Pesach. But if you don't have something similar to this chametz that was, kneaded within and baked within the same hour, then the Gemara gives it a shear that if you weigh the amount that an average person takes to walk 2,000 amos, which is from the time that you stopped working with it. You wait, you know, this year for a person to walk 2,000 amos, which is, it's a mil. The Rambam says it's the shear of 2/5 of an hour, meaning 24 minutes. So if you waited 24 minutes from not doing anything, then we're afraid that it rose and it became chametz. But if it's less than 24 minutes, then we'd be lenient. So again, with this def challah, with this challah, which is very, very hard, it doesn't have the elements to make it leaven. If you have within the same batch, you know, similar dough that was baked within the same hour that leavened already, then it's aser. But if you don't, then we just give it 24 minutes. Up to 24 minutes, it stays, you know, not chametz. Once it's 24 minutes, then it becomes chametz. And that concludes Mishnah Beis. Mishnah Gimel, we're actually going to be introduced to a number of different concepts, so it's crucial that we see the introduction over here and then dive straight into the Mishnah. So here we go. Our Mishnah discusses dough, okay, that became tameh on Yom Tov of Pesach, that how are you mafresh from it challah? Right, we know whenever you bake dough, if you have a certain amount, a big enough shear, you have to separate challah and give it to the kohen. So if you have dough that became tameh on Yom Tov of Pesach, how are you mafresh from it challah? So, if the dough is tahar, okay, so then mafreshim and challah, you separate challah from it, and you bake it for the kohen, in order that you shouldn't, you know, let it wait around and turn into chametz, and you give the challah to the kohen, okay, very good. But what happens if the dough is tummy? So now the challah that you separate from it, right, it's not befitting for the kohen to eat it. So now you can't even bake it on Yom Tov. Why not? Because it's a baking which is shelo l'tzorach. There's no need for it. And you have no hetin out of baking on Yom Tov. Okay, so what are you going to do? You're going to burn it? You can't burn it because you don't burn kachim. This is kachim. Challah is kachim. It's sacred. You can't burn it on Yom Tov. And you can't feed it to the dog of the kohen because that's considered destroying it, burning it. And you can't burn kachim on Yom Tov. And furthermore, truma, challah has a level of truma. So truma, which is eat shehi ochel, which is food, also lachil b'him, you can't feed it to your animal as long as it's befitting for a person. So if the person technically, if the kohen technically could eat it, you can't feed it to the kohen's dog. So what on earth do you do with this challah that became tameh on Pesach? What do you do with it? So and they say over here that on any other Yom Tov, right, you mafresh the challah, you set it aside from the dough that became tameh, even if it became tameh, and you just leave it till Matzah Yom Tov and then you burn it then. But on Yom Tov of Pesach, right, you can't leave it around till the evening because it might leaven and turn into chametz. So if imkin kisa nogam, how on earth are you knowing? What do we do with this challah? And on that, there's going to be a three-way machlokas tanam in the Mishnah. So with that in mind, let's begin Mishnah Gimel. How do you set aside challah which is tameh b'yom tov on Yom Tov of Pesach? So the first opinion, Rabbi Eliezer says, lo tikul l'shem. The woman who's kneading the dough shouldn't call upon it the shem challah, meaning shlo tafresh as the challah. Don't separate the challah. Ad sh'teyafeh, until after the baking. For in this case, it'd be mutter to bake the whole entire dough on Yom Tov. Because each one of the loaves from the dough is roi fa'achila. It's befit for being eaten. Each and every one, omer, we say on it, lozu hi achala shel kohen. Because on each dough, we'll say, this one doesn't belong to the kohen. This one doesn't belong to the kohen. And you do this in a circle. And then it comes out that afiyah shel kulan, the baking of all them, was for a tzorach. Right? Because none of them are for the Kohen, we're saying. Each one, we look at it as an individual, and we say, hey, this one's not for the Kohen, the other one is. The next one, we say, hey, this one's not for the Kohen, the other one is. Comes out that all of them are not going to be for the Kohen. It's a baking which is needed for Yom Tov, and you can do it. And then after you bake it, then mafresh eishes challah, then separate the challah. Because Rabbi Eliezer holds, there's a Mishnah in challah, it says, I wrote them in a tana, you bring it out from the oven, but it was put into the basket, and then in the sal, you call it, in the basket, you make it as challah. You don't have to separate as challah beforehand, you can separate as challah after it's all baked up. And then you leave it until Matzah Yom Tov, and then you can burn it then. So that would be the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. He holds, put it in a scenario where there's a need to bake it on Yom Tov so you can bake it. By saying that each dough, you look at it as an individual and say, this is not the one for the kohen, the other one is. Comes out that none of them are really for him. Comes out you could cook, bake it on Yom Tov. And then after you bake it, you separate the challah from it and then you leave it to the side to burn it, after Pesach. Can't burn it now because it's kachem, you don't burn kachem on Pesach, but you burn it after Pesach. Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says a different opinion. Tatal b'tzonin, put it in cold water. Meaning the woman should set aside the challah like she normally does. Korah la'ashem, you know, set aside challah right away. And then take it and put it into cold water so it should not leaven. So Behuda ben Maseir argues in Eliezer, because he holds that even if you don't, you know, do a kriya shem of chal on it, it's still prohibited to bake it. All the challahs that come from this dough, because at the end of the day, one of them, right, is not roi for achila, and comes that you're doing a baking which is not for the need of yomtiv. So he says you can't do that trick. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer says he doesn't hold Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, because he says even if you put it in cold water, we're concerned that you're not going to be so careful and the challah will leaven and turn into chametz. So that's why they don't hold of each other. And then a third opinion, Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says, "Loizehu chametz Hashem uzhar malav b'ayah b'yamatzei." This is not the chametz that a person's warned on for the law of b'ayra b'yamatzei that it cannot be seen or found in your home. Because once you call on it chala, you separate it as chala, it doesn't belong to you. So you don't fall in this category of this law, and there's no problem. Ela mafrashta, set aside the chala like you normally do, umanachta ara erev, and then leave it until after yamtif, right? And if it ended up leavening and turning into chametz on Pesach, it's not your problem, because you called on it challah. It belongs to the kohen. It's not yours. So you're not going to transgress any law. And just leave it there. If it turns into challah, it's not your problem. I mean, if it turns into chametz, it's not your problem, because you don't own it anymore. It has to go to the kohen, and therefore you're not going to transgress the sin of b'ayol b'ayamatzeh, that not to own or see chametz in your home, because it's not yours. And they bring down over here that the Gemara explains the reason behind the machlokas of the three Tanam is that Eliezer holds that since technically, after you set aside challah, right, you can go to a chacham and, you know, retract on your words, okay? Vinimsa, so comes out that the whole dough would go back to its tevel, to its raw state, right? And therefore, if the challah were to turn to chametz, then you would be over by Rabbi Matzeh, right? And Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira holds the same concept as well. But he argues in Rabbi Eliezer, and he holds that it's usher to bake them all on Yom Tif, right? Like we explained earlier, because you have something which is not needed for Yom Tif, and that's a problem. And Rabbi Yeshua, he argues on both of them, right? And he says that Kol Zman, as long as you didn't ask the Chacham to backtrack on your challah, right? So, as long as you don't ask him, so we still say this, we don't look, as long as you don't ask him to backtrack, so then of course it's not yours. We don't say that since technically you could ask him, and if you backtrack, and then once you backtrack, it becomes yours, so then you own it. He doesn't hold that a concept. Because as long as you don't ask him, so it's not yours. And then he can go as far as to say, is just leave it in the corner. If it turns into chametz, it turns into chametz, it's not your problem, because you set it aside as challah. And that's the way, Rabbi Yeshua stands, and that's how we have the three different opinions of this concept in the Mishnah.